Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone. And the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay the prices high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive, don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel,
it's
gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
It will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. And what a beautiful morning it is. Just getting the sun shining through the trees just to the east of us. And wow, what a beautiful sunrise. We thank you for joining us this February 12th, 2022. Time continues to march on, but it's a good morning. We've got our coffee, we've got our Bibles, and well, we've got a full crew this morning. We'll bring everybody on. Jason, good morning, sir.
Good morning. You need to turn your mic down just a little bit.
All right. We'll sure do that. And Josh, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
And Tim, out in Nebraska, thanks for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
And Remnant, we again tell you good morning and thank you for joining us. And we're glad that you're here. And we've got our Bibles, we've got our hot coffee poured, and we're ready to go. But we're going to open up in prayer. We encourage you to be doing that, to open your day in prayer, open your travels in prayer. Seek the Lord. And he is ready to be found, that's for sure. Well, Jason, would you open us up in prayer this morning?
Yeah, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask for your blessing upon this program this morning. We ask, Father, that you be with your people across this land. And Father, we specifically lift up our brothers and sisters up in Canada, Father, that are putting their tongues on the top of their mouths and saying no, they've had enough. And Lord, we just ask that you continue to protect them, keep them safe, guide them, direct them, and just allow their message to get out, Father. And we pray, Father, that you keep them warm and see to it that they got plenty of fuel. We just ask that you just tend to their needs, Father. We thank you for these people that are rising up and saying no. We ask, Father, for you just to continue to stimulate your people across this land. We pray that you continue to wake your people up. And we just ask, Father, for moving of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning. We do our best to keep them open. 307-745-5913. If you have a comment or if you have a question even, we'll do our best to take your call. And, yeah, Jason.
Go ahead and turn your mic over-modulated. You're just, yeah.
Still? All right.
Now, and remove your mic away from your mouth or something.
Okay. All right. We'll do a little bit of both of that. And, Remnant again, phone lines are open. 307-745-5913. And if you want to give a call. And, yeah, Jason, as you prayed, that Canada is, they're still at it. They had their big deadline that the federal government in Canada had proposed, had demanded that they cease and desist, that they go home, that they get back to work, and everything that was included with it. And, they did just like your prayer said. They said no, and nothing happened. The police didn't come and raid them. The military didn't show up. And so it is interesting times, things that are going on. I saw one comment regarding what's going on up there that the Canadians are, and this was a quote, tired of tyranny. And I thought that was quite interesting, those types of words that are being used. I saw one note last week that the policeman had called several tow trucks to come and start towing some of the vehicles away. And when the tow trucks, they came and they showed up and they joined the convoy. They joined the protest as opposed to hauling vehicles away. I thought that was quite interesting.
Yeah, that's happened in several different places. They've called tow trucks. Tow truck drivers have showed up and said, no, we're not doing it. Or they're making the calls, and now it's pretty good because they're being instructed. They had somebody that did a tutorial video because they were getting in trouble for not showing up and not doing their job, because basically under the Parliament rule, if they get a call and they don't respond to and haul a truck, they can lose their license, their towing license. I don't know what they call it up there in Canada, but so anyway, they just they started saying, well, due to COVID, we are unable to do this. Due to COVID, we are unable to take your call. Due to COVID, we are not able to respond. Due to COVID, and basically did the same thing that the government's been trying to do, and that kind of threw a monkey wrench in things over there. And then a lot of them just said, you know, they said, no, I know these truckers. This is who we get our business from. You know, we're in the truck hauling business. They're to provide service for truckers, and we are truckers. You know, get lost. So it's they've got bridges that are shut down. It's growing. And Parliament is, they are PO'd. They are stomping their feet and shaking their fists, and they don't know what to do. And you listen to them, and, you know, they keep coming out, and then they keep making more and more accusations and more threats, you know, threatening these people. And basically, you can hear the defeat in their voice. You can tell that they don't know what they're going to do. They haven't got a clue what they're going to do. And then they started it's kind of interesting because, boy, you know, for the first time in a while, we're not the only people that are being called white supremacists. The way they've been dropping that like crazy, you know, white supremacist this, white supremacist that. Then they started using the cryptocurrencies because they got everything banned as far as their GoFundMe. And they have another sort of thing up there that's called, it's similar to a GoFundMe, but it's different, different organization. And they got all the money banned from that. So then people started using cryptocurrencies. And then they came out on the news this week and said, well, people that use cryptocurrencies are white supremacists. And it's a white supremacist haven for people to launder money. And so it's basically you can hear the defeat in their voice. And they have no idea. They're trying all the buzzwords that they possibly know how to use. And one of the things, I was showing Tim the video this morning, and that was really interesting, is a lady up in Canada, she had showed support on Facebook of the convoy, and the police showed up at her door, knocked on her door, and talked to her about peaceful protest and what this protest was really about over her supporting them on Facebook. So, and in this video, she's like, "You're trying to tell me that you saw this on my Facebook page, and you're showing up to give me information about protests and what these people are actually standing for." You know, you talk about trying to shut people up and trying to shut this down, and it's just out of control.
Yeah, I didn't have any clue until this morning that they had raised $7.8 million on GoFundMe before GoFundMe shut them down. That's pretty good chunk of change there for folks to just pitch into the cause.
Well,
go ahead, Tim.
My observation is you know, we know that we got all those truck drivers out there, and there are a lot of them, and they're getting a lot of support, like Josh just said, financially. We know that as well, you've got the ministers up there at the government level talking about how disproportionate that this this protest is, and how it's affecting all these people in Canada and just disrupting their lives and causing all these issues and everything. And it's the biggest, most horrific thing, you know, and what a problem. Where's their protest? All these people that it's disrupting. The only protest I see about the disrupting of what's going on is the government people. They're up there protesting. Oh, wait, they're the problem, too, you know. So I don't think that the landswell support that the truckers are seeing, you know, we got lots of public out there that are not truckers coming out along the roads, the Canadian bridges, the overpasses, the roadways, and they're out there holding up signs saying, "God bless you," you know, and "I want freedom," and that sort of stuff. But we don't have any massive protests out there of people saying, "We want the truckers to go back to work because they're wrong." So, you know, that's the reason. The truth of the matter is the reason that their voices are getting thin and they're getting scared and they're having issues with that is because they have no support. They want to keep their arbitrary power, and they want to keep their boot on everybody and their thumb on everybody, and they don't want to give any of that up. And unfortunately, I think they see that the light at the end of the tunnel is actually a train coming at them. So there's kind of that issue. That's just one of my observations about a lot of this.
On that other account that that Jason was talking about, my understanding is that the government actually stepped in and cut them off for that. It wasn't, you know, GoFundMe. It was their liberal platform that shut them down. But the other Cash App, it was the government that stepped in and, you know, pretty much took control of that personal asset there and withheld it from.
That's what I understand as well, Josh. And then they deemed it a criminal terrorist organization.
Yeah, judge issued an order on it, and there's so much. People are just. It's amazing to me that this little. Oh, wait, little thing is just continuing to balloon. I mean, and we've got convoys on the way to Brussels now over in Europe, and Brussels is kind of doing the same thing. They kind of sound like Trudeau already, like, oh, my, you know. And several other countries around the world are saying enough, you know, we've had enough. And it's not really about COVID. It's not really about vaccinations. It's not about masks. It's about, you know, it's about overreach and overstepping their authority and their bounds. So when we see things like this, that minister from Ontario, he's making all these threats about finding them, putting them in jail for a year and a half, fining them $100,000, taking their money, taking their license so that they can't make a living anymore. And, those are desperate attacks, and And you can't just, that kind of stuff just is going to pour fuel on the fire, which is fine. I mean, continue to pour fuel on the fire and see what, you know, see what happens. But we're entering a stage there where, and I watched one YouTube video from a guy I occasionally watch, and he was walking around the camp there at Ottawa. And one of the things that interested me, one of the guys stepped in there into the mess hall, and he said, shall we pray? And everybody just gathered around and said, yeah. And they all bowed their heads and prayed and asked the Lord to, you know, protect them and keep the people of Canada and help their children. And, I mean, it's a good prayer. I listened to it. I was like, you know, they're understanding and tying into the ultimate authority over their lives and, you know, seeking God's face. And those people who are attempting to circumvent them, God doesn't take kindly to that. I mean, you know, ask and it shall be given. And they're knocking on the door, and they want help. And divine intervention is, we already all know that, it's an extremely powerful tool.
I bet there's a couple hundred thousand healthcare professionals here in the States that wish somebody would stand up for them.
Amen.
Yes, amen to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, amen to that. And you're right, Tim, they are. It's still that law written in their hearts that you know, they are turning back. They are turning back to God. They're doing what they can. They are doing what they can. And when you cry out to God, tell me in the Bible where when his people cried out to him, he did not answer. And he did not take care of it. And he always has, and he always will. And so, yeah, it is. It is encouraging to see that. You see the things that the Canadians are doing. I saw one video of some Polish people. They brought van loads of fresh baked goods and food, and that's just one of many things that have been happening. That the people themselves have been just opening up and feeding these people and housing these people and taking care of them. And it's that law unto themselves that is God's law written on their heart that is coming out. I can't help but think of the Boston Tea Party, you know, as a small similarity in this protest, in regards to this protest, that is not that dissimilar. And boy, the powers that be were pretty upset then, and they're pretty upset now. They are.
Well, and Tim, tell us about the numbers that you were telling me last night about what out on that crossing. How much? You remember the numbers off the top of your head on how much that's costing them? Where that border crossing is shut down?
Roughly, those border crossings into Canada are extremely profitable to, well, just Canada's infrastructure as a whole, but I don't remember exactly what it was. You know, those numbers get about so high, and sometimes, but it was like, it's like $157 or $187 million an hour that it costs to close down those border crossings. So they are losing, and that's not all of them together. That's just the one that they were talking about. So because you take over there, the ports out of New York and stuff, the shipping is brought in there, and then it's transported, you know, via truck into Canada and across the border, and then the supplies coming in overland from, like, the U.S. into Canada and going out of Canada back to the United States or back to the port. The glorified accountants, they know what those numbers are. So basically, since this thing has shut down, it's affecting the trade routes at the rate of at least on the one there, and that was the way I understood it. Was it's one over there in coming across from New York? Is that's about $187 million an hour, if I remember right. They literally have over $1 billion a day go across that just that one bridge or that one into Canada. So this is another issue with them that is adding. I mean, that's the leverage right there that they're applying to the Canadian government to listen to them. You know, so we see that. But those numbers they're astronomical in that realm. I mean, when we start talking about numbers that start with a B, why it's pretty tough for anybody to really grasp how much money that is, but you know, there it is, and that stuff's going on. So very interesting.
The one in Detroit's been closed. I'm not sure how long it's been closed, but it's been saying temporary closed, and it's been just completely shut down for a long time. The one in Blaine, Washington has been, they've just been reported. People are trying to figure out when they can go across there, and it just says temporarily unavailable, not applicable, and they're not giving any information on it. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Well, it certainly adds some punch to what they're doing, you know. I mean, because really, at the end of the day, that's all they understand is money and power. So, you know, you can talk to them, and Trudeau issued that statement, you know, as far as sending in this or the military and talking to them about that, but nothing was accomplished. Well, you've made your point. Well, if nothing's changed, the point's not made. You know what I'm saying? So we're looking at some of those things, and they call Christian people or Christian conservatives the silent majority a lot of times, and the reason is we think that we're all alone, and we you know, how often do we hear that? Well, what can one person do? You know, I mean, well, if you had a whole group of people together, you know, that would change it. But what can one person do? And the thing is we aren't one person. God tells us that in the Bible. You know, I've got many that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. You know, and when we look at it that way, the problem is those people are diligent and they're focused. They want to serve their families. They want to make a living. They want to continue to do what's right. And when it finally gets to the point that they have to lay their tools down and make a change, then they apply themselves in that to the same way that they apply themselves to, you know, to whatever they are, whether they're a plumber or a mechanic or a farmer or whatever. It's like, well, okay, if we've got to do this job, then we better work on it till it's done, you know, because the mentality that they don't get exposure to that, those liberal ungodly people, they don't have exposure to that mindset. You know, they do what feels good. Their discipline lacks in applying themselves to a task to its completion. And what we're seeing right now is we're seeing that focus be directed toward the removal of this government tyranny and government mandates that created these problems in the first place. It's not, you know, Trudeau's opening statements with this was, well, it's just a small, insignificant fringe minority that is out here. He's not saying that anymore, you know. So it's like, okay, we got a whole bunch of people putting their shoulder to the wheel, and they're saying, with God's help, we're going to make this thing. We're not going to blink. And no, you're not doing this anymore. We're done. So, you know, and I just I don't know. It's it just lifts the spirit to see it go on, I think. So,
amen. Well, guys, we got a couple callers. Let's see if we can take them. We'll take the first caller. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, Richard.
Good morning, Warren.
Hey, good, interesting topic this morning. I was going to ask you, did you get a chance to listen to that DVD I sent you, Which Hill Are You Going to Die On?
I did listen to some of that. Thought it was pretty interesting, you know, especially coming from a, you know, kind of more of a mainstream type of thought it was very interesting. And, you know, we're seeing that, Warren, more and more. We're seeing a little more truth being proclaimed, and I think a little more truth being preached from the Bible from some of these places.
I don't remember what all them were. I know the first one on there. Are we willing to compromise? And then it talks the next one is about you know, when Judas betrayed the Lord. And I think the third one was passing on the torch of denial. See, this was a father and son retreat. And it talks on there about, you know, teaching your children to stand up, you know, for what's right. You know, the mainstream media are saying that, you know, the child protection services are trying to take the children that are out there, you know, take them out of there, take them away. They don't want the parents teaching their children the godly ways, you know, to stand up for what's right. And, yeah, that was a very interesting one. We usually listen to these Christian radio stations. The one that came from, they had on Trust Talk Wednesday, they had a call in it. We should, you know, it's a call-in program on Wednesday. When the whole hour was on. If you had 60 seconds to, you know, tell the president something, what would you tell him? I was surprised how many called in and actually told him to repent, because he's going to, you know, otherwise he's going to go to hell. And I was going to call in and tell him that, you know, the president needs to repent, and America needs to repent. Yeah, well, it's an interesting radio thing. It's called WVTY, and you ever get a chance to pick it up in your radio, listen to it. You got ministers on there that even preach on baptism. They had one this week that's preaching on marriage. So I'll let somebody else call in. I know that I'm not going to compromise, and I'm not going to, you know, betray the Lord, and I'm not going to deny him. So I'm not going to die on any of those hills. The hills you're supposed to die on is prayer, preaching, and faith, I believe. I'd have to listen to it again. Well, God bless you.
God bless, Warren. Thanks for the call. And we've got another caller waiting. Caller, thanks for holding. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you guys doing? This is Edie in North Carolina.
Good morning, Edie. We are doing well. How are you doing?
Like the pastor used to say, rejoicing always.
Amen.
The reason I called, I think, it's a little bit about the truckers, but it's also about the January 6th guys, Matthew 27, you know, when the crowd was calling for give us Barabbas. And so they, you know, gave them BLM and Antifa. But for the January 6th guys, they were saying crucify him. I heard on the radio some guy who was released from the January 6th people, and he was saying, you know, they were beating him up. I mean, they're torturing those guys. And he was saying that somebody, one guard in particular, was saying, where's your sky daddy now? And that is, you know, that's Matthew 27. Up and down. Those are God's people up there. They're the body of Christ. They're what's being abused. And my heart goes out for them.
Amen, Edie. There's
Amen.
Certainly plenty to be praying about, and that's something that not many realize. You're absolutely right.
Well, that's something I have to work on constantly. I mean, it's constantly on my mind. It's praying. Because, you know, things are looking up here and there, but they're also going down here and there. And along with rejoicing always, we need to be praying always.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Edie, remember, these are those birth pangs. These are those birth pangs of of this Babylonian system falling down, being destroyed, losing its hold on the people, and it is the birth pangs of our system, of His kingdom, that is coming, that people are waking up to, that people are seeing more and more.
Well, bless you guys. Have a great and wonderful and godly and glorious time.
Thank you, Edie. Thanks for the call. God bless. Edie's out on a little barrier island just off the North Carolina coast, and been calling in and writing in for years. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. Guys, you hearing any more? I'm hearing a little bit more of over the saber rattling from the Ukraine. I saw that the administration told again the U.S. personnel to basically get out from from the embassies there, and they've let it be known for Americans to get out on commercial aircraft while you can, type of thing. Not sure if it's just those rumors of wars that's going on that we hear of, but there does seem to be a certain amount of attention over there.
Yeah, I've heard a little bit about it, and basically it's just, I mean, the saber rattling and what the Biden administration's putting out, they basically, Ukraine's saying, you know, hey, why don't you shut up about this, because you're costing us a lot of money. Russia's saying that, you know, we've got, we're doing exercises, and we've got to do them somewhere, and we might as well be doing them where it's warm out. I don't know. I think it's a bunch of smoke and mirrors right now, is from what I can gather.
Yeah, it's a. I tend to agree with that. More like an opportunity for a flash in the pan to divert attention from a lot of these other dead horse issues that they can't do anything about. And it's like, oh, look over here, you know, squirrel. So wars and rumors of wars, like you said.
Yeah, I did see one headline that talked about, you know, war in the Ukraine would what it would do to, you know, worldwide energy resources and costs, oil and gas and coal, and that it would cause them to go through the roof. And that's certainly something that our enemy desires, as they steal, kill, and destroy. So, yeah, time will tell. Time will certainly tell. Well, again, Remnant, the phone lines are open. The program, Coffee with the Wranglers, 307-745-5913. I didn't know if you guys had seen, but Colorado voted on their Proposition 114 with a 50.9% majority, that's barely squeaking by, to reintroduce the gray wolf into west of the Continental Divide in Colorado. And you talk about insanity. The counties that voted for it, Fort Collins, Boulder, Denver, Aurora, Colorado Springs, Breckenridge, Aspen, Telluride, and Durango. And that is where that is your leftist, left-leaning metropolitan areas. And when you look at the state of Colorado, it's just these, you know, it's like not even a tenth, probably a 20th of the state as far as landmass. But that's who voted for this. Now, those cities, most of them, are not in the range that'll be receiving the wolves. And so, you know, but they voted for it. Oh, yes, we would like to see the gray wolf reintroduced in your backyard, is what they said. And it just, again, highlights the idiocracy of what these people have voted on. We have seen just in the last month only about 50 miles from here, up in Walden, Colorado. The Radio Ranch is just, we're only about 20 miles from the border, the Colorado border, and Walden is a community only about 25, 30 miles into Colorado. And just recently, we have seen in the last month two confirmed wolf kills in Walden. Ranchers have lost their calves, and one lost a 550-pound heifer calf, and they've lost dogs. It's been documented. This one rancher was just—it was so confirmed he was reimbursed some money by the National Wildlife Service. Our forefathers worked long and hard to rid the wolves of these areas, and now we've backed, you know, it just shows the insanity of these people that are living in the cities that have voted for this. The statistics show the loss in hunting and sightseeing revenue that occurs when wolves are reintroduced to an area. But see, none of that matters. None of the logic seems to matter to these people.
That makes almost as much sense as buying $30 million worth of crack pipes to help people get off of crack.
Absolutely.
I was hoping we were going to get there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah, not. Right. Let's hand them out for free. With proper instructions how to use safely.
Yeah. That's right. We'll make sure they're good and sterile and clean, and that you can safely smoke your crack rock.
Yeah, and it started out, I thought it was a joke, and then I started digging into it, and boy, they backpedaled on that, but with your four shot and this and that, and you get this, and you get your safe smoking kit, and they included in that safe smoking kit, a free crack pipe, and the administration, the Speaker of the House, boy, they came out and they backpedaled, said, we didn't do that, and we didn't do this, and we didn't do that. And the organizations that they had contracts with, they came forward and said, hey, wait a minute, yes, you did. We've got a contract, and this is what it says.
That's right.
They've been doing all they can to try to cover that up and make that out to be false information. But, no, it was the absolute truth.
Yeah, and these bills that are just inches thick that these lawmakers sign into effect, they don't know what's in those bills. And all that stuff is just slid by to deceive and to beat off of us and destroy us, for sure. It's kind of like those preachers, and so we were talking earlier about some of these preachers that are coming around and speaking some truth. There are ones, no doubt, that will come to the truth, and I thank God for that. But there are also those ones that are preachers, and they're preachers out there for a reason, because they've been feeding off of the sheep for a long time. And you got to watch them, because they do this same thing. They'll put just enough of the good stuff out there to cover up the rest of it. And that's what, you know, these relief bills or whatever, they put just enough of good stuff on top and say, hey, look at this. But then they're covering up that leaven and that is meant for the destruction of our people. So just didn't want to get out of here this morning without bringing that up, that we need to test the spirits. It doesn't matter who tells you something. You hear a message, you need to look at Scripture and read it and look at the context and make sure that whatever you're accepting as the truth is the truth. And Jason, you and I were talking here a while back, and I told you that just, you know, if somebody doesn't know the truth about salvation, how to be, how to enter into the kingdom, it makes it hard for me to receive anything else they got to say. And I'm not saying that there's not any. It's not 100% for sure. But if somebody doesn't know how to contact the blood and the truth about salvation. They don't know who we are as a people. It's hard to take what they're saying and put a whole lot of truth into it. I'm not saying not to. I mean, there's nothing wrong with writing down, listen to that message, write down scriptures and look at it for yourself. But that's a couple of red flags that I always watch somebody if they don't have that. I watch them, period. But it's more so if they don't have those two keys.
Amen to that.
Yep. Yep. Got to do the fruit test all the time, right? Yeah.
Well, I agree with you 100%, Josh. And we've talked about that, and it's one of those things is like you pay attention, listen up, and if you don't know, then figure it out.
Because I struggle sometimes to know what spirit I'm of, and I got to pray about that. And so, how in the world will I know somebody else without the Holy Spirit and without judging the fruits in the Word? But
yeah, well, and that goes back. It's like the spirit where these people are promoting and trying to reintroduce wolves back into to a land that our forefathers worked long and hard to get rid of them. I was thinking about the book, and anybody that has not read the book by Richard Kelly Hoskins, Wolf and Sheep, it's a fantastic book. Encourage people to order that. We have it available. The Wolf and the Sheep. It's a classic as far as I'm concerned, and it goes into it, and it explains it really simple. Wolf eat sheep, and that's what they do. We've got this here in Colorado where they've reintroduced them, and the first kill, like Richard was saying, it was kind of interesting. It's kind of thrown a monkey wrench in it because they allot so much money for wildlife in the state of Colorado. I know they got like $500,000 in there that it pays for loss of this or loss of that, or if elk get in and eat somebody's haystack, or if the deer do, or whatever it is. But as far as when they were reintroducing these wolves, they just said that we're not taking money out of that because this is stuff that's paid for, that's naturally here and naturally occurring, and they have the fund that is funded by the hunting licenses that are sold in the state of Colorado. Well, they had to pay out $1,800 for this 600-pound registered Angus animal that was killed by this wolf, and that had to come out of the general fund. And now people are screaming about, we can't have that. We can't be taking money out of that for this one. It's like, well, hey, you guys are the people that wanted this. You guys are the people that reintroduced this. So
right.
That's going to be interesting, but that's what they do. They want to introduce, destruction, and that's what they are, and that's what spirit they're of.
It would be fitting if they would they should have an act to where those folks that voted for it would have to adopt a wolf and raise it in their house with them, and they could just, instead of them being, on our property, they could nurture them in their house and take care of them like that. That would be...
Yeah, and pay for the damages that they do, wolves that they've reintroduced. Yeah, out of their own pocket, not out of everybody else's pocket, So, that'd be different, wouldn't it? Individual responsibility.
Yeah. That's something they don't understand. And I think this is really good that it highlights
that
what's been going on. These people in
that
this,
he was.
Well, go ahead, Jason. Sorry.
Yeah, there was one of these guys that was up there that he went up there where this rancher is, and he just said that I love the wolves so much, so he's up there walking around trying to keep the wolves away from the cows, and that's what he's doing. That's what he's spending his time doing. Well, I just love the wolves so much, and this is what I want to do. I'll keep the wolves away from the cows, and these people have no concept of what a pack of wolves will do. Years ago, I had good friends of mine from Michigan that had grew up on sheep farms in Michigan. They raised sheep or worked on a sheep farm. And they said when those wolves would come through, they killed just for the pure pleasure of killing. That's what they do. And they will go in and they'll kill, 30 animals, 50 animals at a time just for fun. I mean, it's not that they were hungry. It's not that they needed something to eat. It's that's what wolves do.
Yep. Yeah, when you're a rancher and all your life savings is standing out there in the pasture, you're pretty invested in that.
Amen. Amen. It is.
Absolutely.
But I think this does a good job of showing what has been going on across this nation is these, the people in the metro areas and the cities that it does not affect. They're the ones that are voting on. They're the ones that are passing this ridiculous legislation. And it does not, it's feel good. It's like the wind farms and the solar. It's feel good legislation. You know, it makes them feel good. Oh, good, we voted for wind farms, but not in my backyard, in your backyard. We vote for these things, but I don't want them here. And especially this article. This was a great article in our Agricultural Fence Post magazine, and written by a rancher. And it shows a map of these, these half a dozen little cities that voted for it, and they're not impacted. They aren't. That's what they should do. Yeah, release some of these gray wolves downtown in downtown Denver, in Aurora, in Colorado Springs, and see how those people like it. You know, how it affects their dogs and their cats and their children on the way to school. And but we've seen this all over the country. This, like was mentioned, this lack of responsibility. We're looking at a huge wind farm going in just south and west of us. I don't know if we'll be able to see them from the ranch, but the people overwhelmingly voted for it. Oh, we need green energy, green energy, green energy. We need wind, wind farms, wind farms, wind farms. And then when they come up and say, well, we're putting them over here in the Vitavu Range, in the Thai Siding Range, the people there, oh, no, not here. We don't want them here. And it shows the double-mindedness that so many of the people in this nation are under, and this with this insanity going on just not even 50 miles away from us with these wolves they say, well, we're introducing them west of the Continental Divide. Well, we're not west of the Continental Divide, and Walden, Colorado is not west of the Continental Divide, and they've already had. They've already seen wolf attacks. But it's good that people are waking up to it. You know, people are seeing this for the insanity that it is in just every aspect. So,
and those are good examples, and hopefully to help people see how wonderful a government that is for the people and of the people and by the people is. Because there's another term for that. It's also referred to as mob rule.
Yes. We have a little treatise that was put out by the Department of Defense, I think, in 1939, and it's on democracy. And if you would like it, Remnant, we'd be glad to send it to you. Just call or write or send a smoke signal asking for the treaties on democracy. And that was put out there, and the attitudes in there, it warns of just what you're saying, Josh. The democracy is mob rule, and that they don't last. And thank God that's not what we have in this nation, that we have a Christian republic. And this was put out by the Department of Defense pre-World War II. So if you'd like it, we've got them, the Treatise on Democracy. Because you hear that so much. You hear those terms thrown out today by these people that are appealing to the right. You hear this, oh, this democracy we have to keep, and this Judeo-Christian ethic. You hear that quite a bit, and that's a burped up out of the pits of hell. Well, let's try another phone line. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, man. Had a couple comments on what you've been talking about. One of them was vote the vote, 59% or whatever. I view these people that are at the top as predators, and they love other predators. And the vote fraud could have easily been involved in those votes there in Colorado. The other thing was a program back in the 80s or so, or maybe 90s, that they had. It was called the Rewilding of America. And that means they wanted to concentrate all the people in the metropolitan areas and turn everything back to wild areas where people wouldn't be allowed to go unless you were a big shot. I kind of look at that as God also to, when we obey him, he magnifies us, and when we don't, he shrinks us. And that's pretty much my comments.
Amen to that. Obedience equals growth. I like that. That's exactly how it is. That's how the Song of Moses describes it. And the word tells us that very thing, that, you know, and look at our history, the history of this nation. It grew and grew and grew as because the people were obedient, and there were more and more people. And look at it now. Look at it now. It's a shrinking.
All right. Thank you.
Well, the caller had a real good
thank
point.
Thank you.
He had a good point that, you know, just because their election says it, that doesn't necessarily reflect that there were that many people in support of it. That's a real good point. And it brought me back to I was thinking earlier about how we were saying that it looks like we're only a few, you know, at any given point in time, we're the only ones. And that's the way that they have their system set up, their media, is to make people think that they're isolated and that they're the only ones that feel this way and the only ones that see that that the king doesn't have any clothes on. And they set it up that way on purpose. And whenever you have something like these truckers that are getting out there and putting together such a big group and being in the public eye like that, it does a lot of damage to them and to their years and years of investment of trying to isolate us and making us think that we are the minority, because there are a lot more of us out there than we know. It's just that we do tend to be silent and keep our mouths shut and mind our own business and want to go to work and go home and raise our children. And we're not trying to rule the world. We don't migrate to those positions of power like the wolves do, because that's not something that interests us. We don't want to control somebody else. We just want to live our lives in peace and prosper and go on. So definitely had an excellent point on that. I believe they've been rigging elections for a long time. This past presidential election, if that didn't bring it to light, don't know whatever will. So good point.
Well, and I think that there's a, just to brush on it lightly, there's this big move right now to call a constitutional convention, you know, and the states are signing off on it, and they want to change the Constitution because of all of these grievances across the land. And, you know, it's another one of those traps from the standpoint of evil people only do evil and imagine evil continually. I mean, God told us that in the Bible. I mean, that's what they do. And what makes you think if they can't follow the rules that they have for the country right now, and if they can't follow God's rules and laws, that calling a constitutional convention and writing something down or changing something to something else is going to create an environment that's any different, you know? I mean, because they only imagine lawlessness, so maybe they've broke all those so bad they need to write some new ones to break or something. You know, I don't really know, but you know, we're at a point there with that they think that that's going to change anything. And what we've got to have is we've got to have an individual heart change and an individual soul change, where we turn to our God and we follow His laws and His precepts. And lawlessness is bound up in is contained in the fact that you don't follow God's laws. Man's laws are, you know, they're junk. They're just an imagined, they're vainglory and imagined things, and they all lead to rot and ruin and decay. But God's laws lead to, you know, great benefit. And so when we see a lot of this, I've been kind of following along on that Constitutional Convention thing, and I think it's just a trap.
Amen. So. Amen.
Well, anything that points us back to their system for the answer is just that, Tim. It is a trap. If the message is not repenting and turning and going back to the real law, then it is just another one of their ploys to pull us away from that.
Amen. Well, guys, we're out of time. I want to thank everybody for joining us. Appreciate the phone calls. And, men, thank you for taking time out of your busy Saturday morning to join us and to encourage the remnant. I know my batteries are fully charged, that's for sure. And, remnant, we do want to invite you to church tomorrow. If you can make it out to La Porte, great. Let us know you're coming physically, if you will. But if you can't make it in the physical, you can join us at scripturesforamerica.org. There at the website, starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and 7:30 on the West Coast. Click on the live stream there at scripturesforamerica.org, and we'll be glad to have you. We'll have a review of the news, a timeless pulpit message, a live message, give you the opportunity to partake of communion and to fellowship with like-minded believers. So hopefully we'll see you there. Again, men, thanks. Have a blessed weekend.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.